Hello, this is Joshua Mack and a few minutes with a Puritan. We are looking at the book, A Treatise on Earthly Mindedness by Jeremiah Burroughs. And in this particular chapter, he's thinking about why men are so earthly minded. And he's going to give some reasons for it. And we want to look at these reasons and ask ourselves if this is the way we think or not. Because, of course, the reasons for being earthly minded are not good reasons at all. They're foolish reasons. And so we want to make sure that we don't think the way the world thinks. But he says the first reason people are earthly minded is because the things of earth appear real to them, but spiritual and heavenly things are just a notion. That which has reality in it takes most with the heart. Men are deceived in this, though, for the scripture speaks of spiritual things as the only real things, and earthly things as those which have no reality at all. In Proverbs 23:5, it says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not?" Speaking of the riches of the world. But in Proverbs 8, it says, "Lead me in the way of righteousness in the middle of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, to inherit that which is, that which has a being. The honors of the earth are but a fantasy and a vain show." You've read of Bernice and Agrippa. They came with much pomp, with great fancy, as the original says. But to an earthly man, these earthly things are real, and therefore he minds them. Wisdom is a lie to a fool. So one reason people are earthly minded is because it really feels to them like the things of earth are substantial and the things of heaven, the things of God, are not. And so obviously you are not going to spend as much time with stuff that you feel like is imaginary, and you're going to spend more time thinking about stuff that you feel is real and that matters. And he says that is incredibly foolish because it is the spiritual realities that actually are most substantial. And the things that we focus on here on earth that are the least substantial. And we can make that argument ourselves, right? Even if we just step back. At first, maybe what Burroughs is saying doesn't sound very persuasive to us. But if we meditate a little, we can see that he's right. Jonathan Edwards, in one of his sermons on the value of the soul, compares the value of spiritual things to the value of stuff here on earth. And he gives some reasons why the value of the soul is so much higher than the value of things here on earth. And here are some of them. He says, first of all, stuff doesn't last forever. So the things of this earth feel very important to us, but we know that things break, things, even the best of things is here and it's gone. You aren't going to last forever. So you spend all your time living for something that doesn't last forever and something that you're not going to be able to keep forever. You are going to die, and obviously you're not going to be able to take any of it with you. Even what you do have here on earth and what you are able to obtain is difficult to enjoy for very long. So when you're young, old age seems very far away. But when you're old, you realize, man, that came quick. And when you're 80, you're 85, when you're 90, you know, you're not going to be able to go many places. And you're basically going to be stuck in a couple of rooms. And all those things that you spent so much energy to obtain that felt so real to you are not going to matter very much to you because you're not going to be able to enjoy them. The more you have, the more you want. So the things of earth, they seem so real to us, so important, but we get them. And so often what happens when we get them is we actually aren't able to enjoy them for very long before we want something else. When you go backpacking, if you've ever gone backpacking, you know that you need stuff. Like if you're going to be out there for 3 or 4 days, you're going to need food. You're going to need a place to sleep. But when you're backpacking and going on a journey, you want to take just what you need and not much more than that. You're looking to go as lightly as you can go. You don't want to carry that much with you because you're on a journey, you're on a trip somewhere, and you're going to have to carry all that with you as you go. And the same is true in life, really, right? You are on a journey, and the more stuff you have, the greater a burden you carry and the greater a responsibility you have as well. So you want, as you go through this life, just enough to be able to survive and be effective for Christ, and not much more than that, because the more you have, the harder the journey becomes. The stuff of earth makes great promises, but doesn't deliver on those promises. So often you are wanting something and thinking about it, and it seems so real to you. What it's saying that it's able to do for you seems so real, but you know this. You've gotten it, and yeah, you have enjoyed it, but the great promises that it made, it doesn't deliver on. It's not able to do all that it says that it's able to do. It's not as real as it says it is. A writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, talks about life here on earth being a vanity. Another word for that would be smoke. Smoke's real, but you go to grab it and it's not there. That is stuff here on earth, really. And so spiritual things, they're good for now and good for later. Spiritual realities are substantial. You come to a greater knowledge of Christ, and that produces strength, that produces joy, that satisfies in a way that earthly things can't. But, of course, we so often are earthly-minded because we are believing a lie. The things of earth seem so, so important to us and seem to matter so much more than spiritual realities. But that's one reason people are earthly-minded. A second, they look upon these things as necessary, though the scripture tells us but of one thing that's necessary. Yet they think that these earthly things are present now. They only have need of heavenly things hereafter. They may have need of reconciliation with God, pardon of sin, peace of conscience, and such things. They may have need of them, that is, when they depart out of this life. Oh, the infinite folly of most hearts to think that there is so present a necessity of spiritual and heavenly things, whereas indeed our life consists in them for the present. Okay, so that sentence is a little bit hard at first to understand. At least maybe the Old English is difficult for me. But I think what he's saying is, man, how crazy that we would ever think spiritual truths, spiritual realities are only helpful when we get to heaven. You know, this is the old saying where people are like, that guy is so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good. And they're talking as if, you know, thinking about this stuff doesn't do you much good on earth, when that's a total lie. You could say that guy is so earthly minded, he's of no earthly good. that guy is so heavenly minded, so he is of earthly good. And again, you know that. You meditate on truth. Psalm 1 says you become a person who's like a tree and you bear fruit no matter what happens in your life. And that fruit, of course, is not just for you, it's for others. So you spend time in God's Word, thinking about God's Word. You're the kind of person who can give good counsel. You're the kind of person who's wise. You spend time with God. You're able to be content. You're able to enjoy what is going on in your life. There's nothing more valuable than truth, and nothing more beneficial, not just for when we get to heaven, but right now. Paul says godliness with contentment is great gain. And contentment, of course, comes from meditating on the truth, God using the truth, the Spirit of God using the truth to give you contentment. And that, Paul says, is gain. It's like profitable. Thirdly, these things are most suitable to men's hearts. So why are people earthly minded? The stuff of earth seems real to them. They think of those things as necessary for now. They're earthly. So earthly people love earthly things. It's no wonder that they mind earthly things. They're of the earth and from the earth. They have nothing but the first Adam in them. The first man was from the earth, and so he was earthly. The truth is, the happiness of man's estate, even in innocency, in the morning of the day of his creation, in comparison of the things that are now revealed by the gospel, was but earthly. So that's a little bit of a question. I'm not exactly sure he's totally right there, at least as far as I understand him. But certainly it's true that an unbeliever is earthly minded because he is earthly, and you do what you are, really, and so, and you think about what you are, and so if we are earthly minded and not changing, then we need to ask ourselves, has God converted us? Has God transformed us? Fourthly, these things of the earth have a very fair show in the flesh. So they look good. They have a kind of goodly appearance in the eye of sense and in the eye of that reason that's now corrupted by sin. We have a most elegant expression of these earthly things and those earthly-minded men who have their hearts set upon these things. It's in Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, says the scripture. The words are to signify when a man looks smug and neat. You shall have some men that dress themselves curiously and having handsome bodies, they look so trim, fine, handsome, and very splendid to the eyes of all who behold them. So he says, these men that are false teachers desire to make a fair show in the flesh. That is, they look upon the things of the flesh as those things that are appealing to the eye, and they look to have all things so complete about them so that they may look smug and carry themselves with such beauty before the world. Oh, this is their happiness. This they take satisfaction in. They seem to have fine estates and to have appealing clothing and all beautiful things about them. This looks so good in the eyes of the world, and therefore it is that their hearts are upon them. There are here enemies to the cross of Christ. They think suffering for Christ, poverty, or disgrace looks bad. But now those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, that would have their countenances well washed, fair and beautiful wherever they go, and be somebody in this world, forsake the truths of God and seek to provide for themselves in the things of the flesh. And this is important for us to remember as well. Why are we tempted to be earthly minded? Well, it's because so often earthly things look good to other people, and you get earthly things, and the people around you tell you this matters. But we have to remember, if a whole bunch of blind people say something is beautiful to look at, it really shouldn't sway us, right? If a whole group of deaf people tell you something sounds so good, that doesn't mean it sounds good, right? Because they're deaf. It certainly doesn't mean that we should think it sounds good. They're deaf. They can't hear. And if a whole bunch of spiritually dead people say to you, this is what makes you significant, this is what brings joy, this is what looks beautiful to us, we shouldn't take their opinion seriously and certainly shouldn't set our hearts upon the same things that they do. Fifthly, there's seven of them here, so we're almost done. But fifthly, men naturally never knew better than the things of the earth. It's no marvel, therefore, that they mind the things of the earth so much. Children that are born in a dungeon and never know any place better can play up and down in the dungeon. So it is with men that never knew what the things of heaven and eternal life meant. They can mind earthly things better than those, but when the Lord opens the eyes of their understanding to see into the reality, excellency, and glory of spiritual things, then they wonder at their former blindness in minding such poor, low, mean, foolish rattles as the things of the earth are. You've probably experienced this, where you had, up to a certain point, never gotten the opportunity to do something. So maybe your whole life you have traveled coach, and yet one day you get to be first class. And not just one of these first class traveling domestic, but coach or first class traveling internationally, like a 10-hour flight. And I can imagine if you get to fly first class, you now know what you are missing. As long as you're back there in coach, you don't know any better. But once you get to first class, you definitely don't want to go back to coach, right? And so, of course, we look out at unbelievers and they're earthly minded. And we can understand that. They have never tasted what a believer's tasted. They've never enjoyed what we have enjoyed as believers. But since we've enjoyed these things, we shouldn't go back, right? Once you've eaten steak, don't go back to living like a homeless person eating trash. Sixthly, there are earthly principles continually dropped into men by talking with other men. Psalm 49:11 says, "Their inward thoughts are that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Their hearts are set on earthly things." Then in the 13th verse, "Their way is folly, yet their posterity approves their sayings." They're applauded by men. They see that everybody applauds them in these ways. And when they talk with one another, they talk about the things of the earth. They see everybody following the things of the earth and they're greedy after these toys. That also inclines their minds to the things of the earth. So why are we earthly minded? It's one reason we're sometimes earthly minded is because we're talking to earthly minded people. And whether we know it or not, they're continually talking about earthly things and giving us a way of looking at the world that is very earthly. And sometimes we, sit down and watch shows. And what are those television shows often doing? If we're not careful, they're teaching us a way of thinking about the world. Or we're looking at social media and people are telling us a way of thinking about the world. And we just need to be careful because very often the way they're telling us to think about the world is really, really foolish. But somehow it sounds normal and wise to us because it's just the way everybody talks. But we know that if you've got 999 people saying foolish things, that doesn't make it smart. Lastly, the sensible experience they have had of the sweetness there is in the things of the earth. And that takes their minds off spiritual things. It makes them to mind the things of the earth. So I think he's saying there is a kind of pleasure sometimes in earthly things and in even in sin. Now that pleasure doesn't last very long. That pleasure often becomes painful. But so often what sin is doing is perverting something good. So it's taking a pleasure that's not wrong, and it's stuffing your face with it. And it's taking a pleasure and making it something that actually harms you in the long run. But part of why that's so tempting is because it's taking a pleasure. It's taking a pleasure and using it against you. And so sometimes people are earthly-minded because they are experiencing the pleasure of that temptation and are not actually thinking long-term and seeing where it is taking them. And he says, "But though these are the reasons why men mind the things of the earth, someday it will be shown to be folly. Though an earthly-minded man blesses himself in this way and thinks he has good reason for what he does and thinks all men fools who do not grovel in the ground like a mole with him and look upon the matters of religion as mere words and talk, let them do what they will, I will find contentment here." That's a good way for us to be, right? Like, the world can think what the world thinks, but I'm going to believe God. God, the creator of the world, my creator, the one who knows all things, knows how to live. And he's good. He's proven that he's good. And he's shown us what is beneficial and what is not. And he says, being earthly-minded is foolish. In the end, the wise men of the earth, those that have sought the things of the earth and blessed themselves in their way, will prove to be the greatest fools. That's what God says about them. In Jeremiah 17:11, it says, "As the partridge sits on the eggs and hatches them not, so he that gets riches shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool," who gets riches sinfully, wickedly. He is the kind of person who applauds himself for what he presently has, but at the end, he shall be a fool. You see someone who sins to be able to get something, and he has that thing in his hand for 10 seconds, and during the 10 seconds that he has it, he is just going crazy, thinking that he is the king of the world. But you know that in 10 seconds, that's going to be taken away from him. Everything's going to be turned upside down, and he's going to be punished for what he's done. You don't look at the man and say that he's wise. You look at the man and say, during that 10 seconds, you say, oh, brother, you're acting like a fool. And being earthly minded is making an idol out of the things of this world. So it's sin. And if you are able to obtain something by being earthly minded, just know that you're only going to have it for a little while, and then God's going to evaluate you. And if you haven't repented and you haven't turned from that idolatry, he's going to judge you. And though the whole world might be looking at you right now and saying, that's the wise way of living, that's the smart way of living, in the end, you're going to be shown, and I'm going to be shown, and whoever lives this way is going to be shown to be a fool. So we don't want to live that way. We don't want to live that way. We want to evaluate ourselves and look at the way that we think. And if we're earthly minded, ask, why are we earthly minded? Is it because the stuff of this earth seems so real to us and spiritual realities don't? Well, let's go back and let's think about that. What is real? Is it because we think spiritual things are good for later but not for now? No, come on. Truth, the things of God's word, we know this is where you find comfort and joy from, and peace and strength even now. Is it because we're not saved? Oh, Lord, please, please, may that not be true. Is it because we're being fooled in and earthly things look so good to us because everybody is telling us this is what really is important, this is what makes a person significant? We need to go back and remember that God looks on the heart. Man may look on the outside, God looks on the heart. Is it because we have forgotten how sweet it is to have a deep relationship with God? Let's remember what it's like to travel first class, you know? let's remember how valuable being spiritually minded really is. Is it because we are forgetting the consequences of sin? We're enjoying the pleasure and forgetting what's coming? Well, let's remember before it's too late and turn from sin, turn from idolatry, and turn back to God, the only one who can really satisfy.